Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Thanks again for joining us, folks. Our final segment of the day. And, you know, I give great delight in talking about talk radio on talk radio. So it's a pleasure to welcome a fellow member in this area, and that is Joan Michelson from Green Connections Radio, based in Washington, D.C. How are you this morning, Joan?
I'm great. How are you?
I couldn't be better.
Great to be with you.
You bet. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Joan Michelson, she's creator, executive producer, and host of Green Connections Radio, which I would call the chief cook bottle washer, right, Joan? And she's a which is a news talk show about the green economy featuring women experts. Joan is an award-winning creative business and communications leader, public speaker, and a journalist. And she's generated millions in revenue for top companies, government agencies, nonprofits, and worked with some top media organizations, including doing a blog on the Huffington Post. We have a common intersection because she was involved in the electric car programs back in the Detroit area, as well as involved in leadership training, being an adept speaker. As a reporter, she's worked with some of the best on CBS 16 Minutes, the ABC 2020 Primetime, and gone on now as well to include being an adjunct professor in communications. With a Bachelor's of Arts in English from UCLA and also a Master's in Business Administration, Joan continues to be on a constant learning path. One interesting thing that I think is always fun, some of the you can run but you can't hide aspects of our own upbringing and legacy, is that she's a descendant of three prominent siblings. And Albert Michelson, who was the first American scientist to win the Nobel Prize in 1907. Charles Michelson was the first White House communications direct press secretary under FDR. And then Miriam Michelson literally kept the women's suffrage movement on the front page in the reporter of the San Francisco Chronicle and Philadelphia Inquirer. So here you are in your life at this point, Joan, taking on elements of media press advocacy and also around a passionate space you believe in, and that is the entire live green, work green, and earn green environments, right?
You got it. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here.
So how is it that the idea came to you about getting involved in radio?
Well, I have been frustrated that the green economy seems to have left women behind. There's so much potential with the green economy. It's interesting. It's creative. It's, you talk about change management, it's the ultimate change management. It's where most of the economic growth is going to come from in the future. And it's frankly doing really fascinating inventions and things. And as a person who's involved in that space, I mean, these new products and new services are really cool. And yet, women are only about 15% of the jobs in this area, and there are cool women who are doing work in this area, but they're not getting any play, and therefore the numbers are dwindling. So I decided to channel my frustration into doing something about it, and frankly, I was invited to do a radio show on the green economy, and I decided to include the experts being 80% women, because women otherwise really don't have a voice in the green economy except a smattering of them.
Mm-hmm.
You go to conferences and you go to, I mean, the Washington Post and the Fourth Estate just reported a study last week or 2 weeks ago that only 25% of the experts in the media are women, even on women's issues.
Even on women's issues, isn't that striking?
Even on women's issues. I'm sure you remember the whole brouhaha with Rush Limbaugh and the law student.
Oh, yeah.
Their study was something like 60-something or 70% of the experts talking about that were men.
Yeah.
Now, I love men, but, you know, women are doing amazing things, and they deserve a voice, and they deserve to have their ideas heard. And, it's not just a function of deserve. Women look at things differently, bring new ideas and new perspectives to things, and solve problems in a different way. And as you point out, as a architect of change, in order to change and grow, we need to look at things differently. We need to see different points of view. And to leave out half of the population, we can't afford to lose that talent pool.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The term the green economy, bound that for us, if you would, for those who might not necessarily be mindful of that really big arching term.
Well, the green economy, you know, it's an interesting question, Zara, because as one of my guests recently on my show, Kate Gordon, said, if you think about the high technology industry and you think about a police officer, now a police officer, would you say, is part of the high technology economy? Probably not, but they use a computer every day in everything that they do.
Okay.
And it's very similar with the green economy, where now we are realizing collectively as a global society that sustainability has to be part of every decision and part of every operation of every business integrated into the overall strategy. So it really has a profound impact on every industry. As an industry separate from the operations and the infrastructure across the board, the green economy includes the obvious ones like electric vehicles and alternative fuels and solar panels and consultants in what's called LEED buildings for green buildings and energy efficient buildings and people like that. But it also includes people who work in corporate social responsibility, who work in nonprofits, who work in, there's a huge movement now to teach environmental science and environmental business management and sustainability practices in universities as part of MBA programs, as part of science programs, as a separate degree. You can now get a master's in environmental science and design.
Which, by the way, you're right. One would struggle to think, well, didn't we have that before? You did, but it was kind of buried over in a make-your-own-degree program. I'd also venture to say, because of my children have had this advantage here in Tucson, that it's also in the high schools, that now there's a separate science class in environmental sciences.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned kids, because that's been a huge motivator for me. One of the things that I'm sure you've covered in your program is corporations are petrified that they're not going to have a workforce of tomorrow. I was just at a conference in Washington at the Center for American Progress 4 days ago with the HR heads of Microsoft, Coca-Cola, and AT&T. And they are scared to death that they're not going to have a workforce in 10 years because there's so few people going into the STEM fields, much less 20 years, because there's so few people going into science, technology, engineering, and math, and kids not being qualified and workers not being qualified. And the numbers for women are even worse. Only 15% of women and girls are going into careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. And the Girl Scouts Research Institute recently did a study called Generation STEM, which is absolutely fascinating. I had a woman from there on my show as well. And one of the findings that they had was that 81% of teenage girls between 11 and 17 say that they want to pursue a career in one of the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. But only about 15% of them end up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? The reason seemed to be really focused in three places. One is the lack of role models. Two is they don't understand how they can make a difference in a STEM field, which is mind-boggling to me. And three is they feel they have to work 2 to 3 times harder than any boys to be taken seriously, much less to advance in any of those fields. And so part of my motivation for doing Green Connections Radio is to provide the role models and to show them the careers that they have as potential that are really interesting and how they make a difference. Another one of the findings was that they felt that being in a science, technology, engineering, and math career was too isolating and antisocial. And my guess, these amazing women who are doing phenomenal things in industry, government, and education, and nonprofits, and even journalism, are showing these girls that it's not antisocial, that it's a team sport, and how much they work in teams, and how much of a difference they're making, and they're providing the role models.
Yeah, which of course, many listeners who know me well, I don't want to take charge because this is my interview of you, but I have a hunch you're going to invite me to come on your show and I'll share those perspectives. Having been, a woman who went into the engineering field in the 70s, and you're absolutely right, at the time even being discouraged with people saying, oh, women didn't do those kind of things, which you kind of shrugged at. But then over the years, but there is some reality to that. Your own comment about how the feeling is that women will have to work twice or three times as hard, whatever the factor of X is, it still is relevant, still right, but the challenges, the opportunities for those who are wired right are wide open. And I think, as always in any field, there's the stereotypes that make you think that those who go in technology are just, in my age, was sitting behind a drafting board or being in the lab, but it's much broader field of view. And, you know, you look at the kind of things you've touched with, Joan, coming out of the communications field, but nonetheless being very technical environments, the cross-disciplinary nature of things, which technology and communication is allowing some more, is so engaging. The idea of living green, I also know that's a component of your show, to be mindful for people that this is more than recycling things, right? It's also the choice, everything in nutrition, how you're bringing your own life about.
Absolutely. And it's how you're raising your family. It's one of the interesting stories we're going to be doing coming up that we're putting together right now is we're actually doing a small-scale consumer study on kitty litter, believe it or not. 76 million people in this country, in the U.S., own cats. And currently the kitty litter that's used, that homeowners have as options for these cats, is highly toxic to both the cats and the homeowners. And the studies are frightening. So we're doing a mini test case where we're giving a few families that have cats two different types of kitty litter, and then having them tell us about their experience with them, and then comparing the costs. I mean, they may be, the eco-friendly version may be slightly more expensive, but it certainly will save you ultimately in healthcare bills, both for you and your pet. So it goes down to that level as well. It's eco-friendly detergent. It's organic food, and the difference. And, you know, people say, well, it costs, you know, more. Well, it does, but it saves you in medical bills down the line.
Hugely so.
You don't realize how much, how many pesticides are in potatoes, for example, unless they're organic. You don't realize we take for granted in the U.S. that we can drink our water out of the tap, and yet in some places in this country you can't, and certainly in countries all over the world you can't. So one of the things we're going to cover is consumer issues like that. We just did a story, for example, one of our alliance partners is Eco Savvy Moms, and one of their folks did a story for us called, Oh, That New Car Smell. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we all get into a new car and we think that, oh, this has that new car smell. Isn't that exciting? And it's the same as, you know, when you bring home a new couch or office furniture or whatever. Well, guess what? That smell comes from what's called volatile organic compounds, and they're highly toxic. And a lot of the studies are now finding that people who have mysteriously gotten sick in their homes from, you know, when they, a new home that they moved into came originally from volatile organic compounds in their new carpet or in their new furniture that they are innocently sitting on and walking on every day.
Joan, as you continue moving your show, as it kind of unfolds and manifests, are you finding any generational differences and interests in the stories you're telling? Is this a younger generation's interest in terms of the field, or is it all the way on the other end, or is it kind of irrespective of age of people right now?
Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful question. I'm finding that there are different aspects of it that resonate for different people, and to a certain degree it falls into the categories of, as you say, our theme is live green, work green, earn green. I think the younger generation really is committed to living green, mm-hmm. and they take it for granted. It's part of their DNA now. And they are looking towards working in the green economy in some way, or having their job be related to sustainability in some way. Whether it's the way the office is run and the business is run, or literally working in a STEM field, for example, or in an electric car plant or something like that. You also find that the generation in the middle, if I dare say, our age probably, who's working interested in working in these fields, and how can I use my expertise to make a difference in this space and make money at the same time so that I can do well by doing good. And then you have the older generation that is looking at earning green in the investment standpoint. So everybody wants to earn green to a certain extent in the way they make a living somehow, have that integrity and that sustainability in place, but older generations are particularly interested in socially responsible investing. And I might add, women investors have always been this way. Women in particular put their money where their values are. Mm-hmm. And that's a key factor for any company that is reaching out for new investors, is if they're particularly going to target women, they have to be able to address the sustainability issues and socially responsible investing.
That's right. I'm sure you might get this question. I know I often do, and that is, so Joan, how do you find your guests?
How do I find my guests? I find my guests in any of a million ways. Finding guests has not been a problem.
Right.
I have a database of hundreds of women. Part of the thing, though, that's really interesting, and I'm so glad you asked this, because it's a phenomenon, frankly, I would love to hear your take on any of this, is I find that one of the reasons why women are not more prominent in the media and at conferences is they decline very often. They say, I'm not ready, or I'm not this, or give it to so-and-so. And it's really interesting to me. So I've invited a number of women who I had to talk into doing it because they didn't feel they were ready or prepared or the right person. But these are amazing women. These are, some of them, of course, don't decline, and those are the people who are the top women at the Department of Energy or at ARPA-E, which is the innovation arm of the Department of Energy, or top women at the, you know, White House Office of Council on Women and Girls, or women who are entrepreneurs like Darlene Pope, who has a phenomenal energy efficiency consulting practice that's global and did a fascinating program with us on green buildings. But some of them, I really have to talk into it. And they come from universities, they come from nonprofits, they come from conferences I attend, they come from my speaking at different conferences and people coming up and talking to me. They frankly also come from, I'll read an article online or something about a particular topic, and I'll hear about a woman who's doing some amazing biomass innovation,
mm-hmm, you bet,
or natural food product. And I'll just have somebody on my team or myself just reach out to them either by email or by phone and just say, you know, we're Green Connections Radio and we'd like to have you on the program. We're fascinated by what you're doing. And a lot of it also comes from entrepreneurs that I know and people that I know, my advisors and others, who send me amazing women who say, oh my God, have you heard of her? You know, have you,
sure,
this is an incredible woman.
And then what
woman.
Starts happening as your profile evolves is that you start seeing convergences and you get the same people recommending by three others. Or you say, no, where do I know their name from? And then you realize it's someone that you maybe sat next to a conference 10 years ago and you're thinking, you know, it's about time I picked up that business card and gave them a call again.
Well, I'll tell you a quick funny story about that. I've gotten to know some very top men in this space too, and one of the key areas in the green economy is, for example, utility companies. And I've gotten to know Jim Rogers a little bit, who's the CEO of Duke, and I don't think he'll mind my telling you this on the air, but I was chatting with him at a conference and I told him about the show and he was all excited and I said, of course we'll have you on. And I said, but, and he looked at me and kind of cocked his head. I said, how many women are on your senior management team? And he paused and he said, oh, Joni, I love it. I've got, you know, so-and-so. I've got six of my reports in every year. And he went on. And I said, fine, you bring three of them and I'll put you on the air. If you don't bring them, I won't. And he stopped dead in his track. And, you know, so it comes that way, too.
It's
I find them
point.
From very cool men who are supportive champions of women in leadership and women in the green economy. And they bring the women that they work with.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Joan, an interesting series of backgrounds for you. The as I'd mentioned in the introduction, that you've got a family legacy involved in sciences, in the media, and then also the women's suffrage movement. So do you feel at times you have them on your advisory board in your head, you know, that Miriam Michelson is speaking to you about the whole area of advocacy and sticking to your guns?
You know, that's such an amazing thing that you just said. I've known about Albert Abraham Michelson since I was a kid, and when I discovered Charles and Miriam, I finally felt like it was all coming together in my head. Because, you know, it brings the communication part into it. I am not a physicist, and I don't fancy to be one, but I am an innovator, you know, as you are. And I believe in change to grow the economy, to grow our lives personally, to grow our careers professionally and our businesses. And when I discovered the three of them, then I moved into the green economy. It's like being in the green economy and doing my radio show is all of them coming together mm-hmm. in one voice.
Yeah, that's a beautiful analogy. And then also to be able to parlay off your passion around teaching like you've done as an adjunct and all the writing aspect. You know, I think you're at an amazing place of just watching how these plates are going to be able to spin and take you and your efforts to the next level.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that. And it ties right in with my blog on the Huffington Post on innovation and the green economy. I'm always highlighting women. I've been advocating for women in leadership and women's self-sufficiency forever. I mean, even my parents would have political fundraisers for women candidates when I was a kid. So I've been in this, you know, forever. I just hadn't done it quite on this scale. And frankly, you know, like you, we use who we are and the talents that we're given to make a difference.
You betcha.
And this is a place where we can make a difference and lead change in a way that can also grow the economy. And you know what? They're amazingly fulfilling careers because they're fun and interesting and stimulating, and they're doing creative things and solving creative problems. It's a win-win-win-win-win.
Isn't it indeed? Well, a real pleasure to have had Joan Michelson here. She's executive creator, producer, and host on our show. You can learn more by going to greenconnectionsradio.com. Also, we'd like to mention the fact that she's involved right now in the Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign. So go to www.indiegogo.com/greenconnectionsradio and contribute, because every little bit helps, and you can gain that opportunity to promote your business, your organization, your book, kids' school or team, or your favorite charity in the process. And I know Joan would really appreciate these as these kind of startup efforts gain more momentum. So with all that, best of luck, Joan, and we're going to keep in touch. We'll talk to you maybe a period of months out there and see how things are going in your part of the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Dara, and I will definitely have you on my show. We'll definitely have to follow up.
There we go, a trade up. I love
the opportunity.
You bet.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.